A Real Family by Angela Yanes. Illustrated by Israel Ramirez. Genre: realistic fiction. Stories have realistic settings and characters that seem like real people, though the stories are made up. As you read, notice the details in the story that give the feeling of reality. Question of the week: how do we learn to connect with others in a new place? Please put your seats in an upright position, secure your seatback tables, and fasten your seatbelts. The pilot has turned on the seatbelt sign for landing. Alberto and his dad were on the plane to Jamaica. In fact, they had already started their descent into Manly International Airport in Kingston. Alberto's dad turned to him and grinned. "Nearly there," he said. "Excited?" It was true that he had been excited for a moment when the plane took off, but he realized he wasn't excited anymore. But Alberto knew that wasn't what his father wanted to hear. So he smiled at him and said, "I guess." "Me too," his father said. They were flying low over the island now. The sea looked turquoise blue, exactly the same color as the ocean he had seen in Cancun when they vacationed there 2 years ago. They were a real family in those days. Alberto's father, who was a heart surgeon, had started applying for jobs abroad a couple of months earlier. He almost took a job in England, but at the last moment, he was offered a job in the University Hospital of the West Indies in Jamaica. Eventually, Dr. Gonzalez listened to his parents' pleas and chose Jamaica over England because it was closer geographically, and that would make it easier for them to visit Argentina from time to time. Alberto had thought a lot about moving away from home. He had found it much harder than he ever would have believed to say goodbye to his school friends. And he had hated leaving his grandparents too, especially when his grandmother had started to cry. But he had been determined to learn what he could about their destination: a new country, a new town or city, a new island in the Caribbean. At first, the only things he had known were that a lot of good sprinters were born there, and that Argentina always beat the Jamaican national team at soccer. It had all happened fairly quickly. Around the time Alberto's father started applying for jobs overseas, he had come upstairs to Alberto's bedroom to talk to him. His father had said that he knew that losing his mother was hard for him, and that it was also hard for him as a husband and a father, too. He said he thought it would be better for them to leave Argentina and their sad memories behind for a while. Alberto's mother had died a year ago, after a long illness. Everyone knew that she was going to die. Everyone except Alberto, that is. He knew she was very sick, but he always thought she would get better eventually. For weeks after she died, he had half believed she was gone away somewhere. He kept hoping the door would open and his mom would walk in. When he finally accepted that that was never going to happen, his world just fell apart. Outside the airport, there were people everywhere, and the heat was almost menacing. It had been cold on the plane, so now Alberto had to pull off his sweater and shove it into one of the suitcases. Then, he and his father got into a taxi and went to the hotel. They planned to stay there for a few days while they looked for an apartment to start their new life in. They were staying in the Blue Majo, a small hotel with a garden full of Blue Majo trees, the national tree of Jamaica. He noticed that the amazingly tall trees dwarfed the hotel. Finally, the lady in reception, a middle-aged woman with a big smile, finished dealing with the family in front and got around to them. "Howdy do, Dr. Gonzalez," she said. "I'm the manager of the Blue Majo Hotel. We've put you and your son in room 5. Alberto and his dad picked up their bags and walked off down the corridor. Just outside their window hung the Jamaican national flag, which bathed the room in the light of its 3 colors every evening: green, gold, and black. Sightseeing in Kingston over the next few days was fun. Alberto felt like a real tourist. It was like he was here on vacation and would be going back to Buenos Aires again any day now. But just as he was feeling pretty good about life, it would suddenly hit him like a sledgehammer that he wasn't going back, perhaps for years. His father would start working at the hospital soon, and he would be on his own. It was worse at night. He missed his old house, He missed his grandparents. He missed his old friends. He missed his old life. Most of all, he missed his mother. He had no one to talk to in Jamaica, except his father. And his father was about to take up his job at the hospital. Then, Alberto met Jamal, who was the son of the manager of the Blue Maho. Jamal would come and sit on the steps of the hotel every afternoon to wait for his mother to finish work so that they could go home together. Alberto met him the afternoon his father was at the hospital meeting his new colleagues. He told Alberto to stay in the hotel until he came back, but Alberto was bored, so he went out to buy a candy bar. When he came back to the Blue Maho, Jamal was in his usual place on the hotel steps. "Hey, you! You're the kid from Argentina?"
Yes, said Alberto.
"My mom told me about you," went on the boy. "Where are you up to?" Guessing that the Jamaican boy was asking him what he was doing, he said, "I went to buy a chocolate bar. Do you want some?" The boy nodded. So Alberto broke the chocolate bar in two and handed half to him. "You want to sit down?" the boy asked.
"Okay," answered Alberto.
The boy moved along the step to make room for him. "I'm Jamal," the boy said.
"I'm Alberto," Alberto replied.
After that, there was an awkward silence. Finally, Alberto asked, "What are you doing here?"
"Me?
Ah, gone easy." "I'm sorry, but I don't understand you. I don't speak Jamaican." The boy laughed so much he nearly fell off the step.
"That's English," he said. "It's Jamaican English."
"Well, what does it mean?" asked Alberto.
"It means I'm just sitting here, chilling out," said Jamal.
Alberto was glad that Jamal could speak ordinary English when he wanted to.
"I'm always here at this time, every day," said Jamal.
"You can come and practice with me anytime you like."
"Thanks," said Alberto. "I will." And he began to feel just a little bit better.
He was on the way to making a new friend. Dr. Gonzalez and Alberto moved into their rented house 2 days after Alberto met Jamal. There was a covered terrace at the front. Looking around the house, Alberto noticed a little round table in the corner of the dining room area with four chairs around it.
"Why did you buy four chairs?" asked Alberto.
"We aren't a real family. There are only two of us."
"Well, we might need four chairs one day," his father said vaguely.
"I expect we'll have friends over sometimes. You never know." He led the way down a corridor to the first of the two bedrooms. "This is the master bedroom," he said. The double bed had a very bright Jamaican quilt over it, just like the numerous rugs.
"Where did you get that?" asked Alberto.
"The manager of the Blue Maho took me to a street market to buy some things yesterday while you were at school," his dad said. "I got the rugs there, too. Do you like them?"
"Yes," said Alberto.
And he was surprised that he did. His mother had always preferred beige furnishings, but everything in their new home was really brightly colored. Now that they had a home, and now that he was at school, Alberto was beginning to feel that life was taking shape again, but he didn't feel that way all the time. The next day, he put the large photograph of his mother on the bedside table next to his bed. "I wish you could see this house," he said to her. "You'd love it." But he didn't really think she would have. It was very different from their old home. He looked at his watch. It was time to go and hang out with Jamal on the hotel steps.
"Hello," said Alberto, flopping down beside Jamal.
"Yo, you good?" Jamal asked him, always interested.
"Yeah, I'm fine," said Alberto.
"We're not in the hotel anymore. We have our own house now."
"I know," said Jamal.
"My mom told me."
"Do you like it?"
"Yes, I do. It's cool. But it's weird just sharing a house with my dad. I wish we were a real family, you know? My dad's never there when I get home. I can't tell you how bad that makes me feel."
"You don't have to," said Jamal.
"My parents are divorced. I don't even know where my dad lives. And I'm an only child, just like you. That's why I come here and wait for my mom every night."
Alberto just stared at him.
Yes, Jamal really was his best friend. They had things in common. The next time Alberto saw Jamal, he was very excited.
"You like reggae music, man? Want come?"
Jamal asked Alberto. It was the first real invitation Alberto had received since he arrived in Jamaica.
"I'd love to," he answered, "but I'll have to ask my dad first."
"Of course," said Jamal.
"Anyway, my mom said we should invite the doctor as well."
The next Saturday, he was on the way to his first concert.
Alberto and his father were pushing their way through the crowds when they heard, "Mideia! Alberto!" "English, please," said Alberto, finally reaching his friend. "Oh, yes, sorry, I forgot," said Jamal. "It means I'm over here."
"Where do we sit?" Alberto whispered to Jamal.
"You won't want to sit," said Jamal. "No one sits at a reggae concert." He was right. The music started, and in no time at all, everyone was swinging and gyrating and jumping up and down in time with the music. And very soon, Dr. Gonzalez and Alberto were swinging and gyrating and jumping up and down with the best of them. After that, Alberto and his dad frequently went out with Jamal and his mom. One day, Jamal asked, "You want to come along on me yard for supper tonight?" Alberto liked the idea of supper, but he wasn't too sure where he was being invited. Even though he persisted in his Jamaican English lessons with Jamal, sometimes catching his meaning was like groping in the dark. "Yard?" he asked. "To my house," explained Jamal. "Mom said to bring the doctor, too." "I don't know about Dad, but it sounds good to me," Alberto said. He was getting tired of eating sandwiches. It turned out his father was getting tired of eating sandwiches, too, so they both went down to the beach where Jamal lived with his mother. The house was crowded when they got there. "Who are all these people?" Alberto asked Jamal.
"Just my family," replied Jamal. "We're big on family here in Jamaica."
Alberto was getting used to Jamaica. He liked living there. He liked his new school as well. The teachers were nice, and the students always seemed to be happy and playing jokes and having fun. And the food in Jamaica was wonderful. Not at home, where they were still living on sandwiches, but whenever they went out to eat. And then there was Jamal and his mom. He still talked to Jamal on the steps of the hotel practically every day, and he and his father often went to Jamal's house for supper. One night, Jamal's mother said, "Why don't you invite Alberto to Corsair Cove?"
"What's Corsair Cove?" asked Alberto.
"It's a magical place by the sea," Jamal's mom told him. "I don't know if it's true, but they say it's a place where wishes come true."
"I think I'd like that," said Alberto. "It sounds great."
Alberto's dad was working at the hospital on the day they had planned to go. But he had said it was fine for Alberto to go, as long as Jamal's mom went with them. They left early in the morning. Jamal's mom had 3 white roses with her. Alberto didn't know what the flowers were for, and he didn't ask either. All 3 of them took off their shoes and waded a little way out into the ocean. Jamal's mom gave Alberto one of the white roses.
"Yuman, close your eyes, make a wish, and throw the rose out to sea," she said.
Alberto took the rose. His hand was sweating. He closed his eyes tightly and thought, "I want to be really happy. I want my dad to be happy. I want us to be a real family again." Then he threw the rose as far out to sea as he could. He opened his eyes and watched the tide as it drew the rose away from him. Jamal's mom said, "It's your turn, son." Jamal then also closed his eyes, made a wish, and threw his rose out to sea. Then his mother did the same. Soon, her rose was floating out to sea, chasing after the other 2 on the tide. Alberto and his dad had been in Jamaica for more than a year. It was early evening, and Jamal and his mom were coming for supper later. Alberto and his dad had made a special effort. This was to be their first supper party. No sandwiches tonight. They had combed the stores and found some flank steak that they were going to grill. They had put in a lot of effort to make their favorite dish, chimichurri, a famous Argentinian sauce. But Alberto's dad had something to say to Alberto before the guests arrived.
"It's been more than 2 years since your mom died, Alberto," he said.
"We'll never forget her, but it's time to move on. I've asked Jamal's mother to marry me. Do you mind?" Alberto thought about it. He realized he didn't mind at all. He wanted his dad to be happy, and he wanted to be part of a real family again. He remembered that was what he had wished for in Corsair Cove. Jamal would become his brother, and he'd never had a brother before.
"It's a good thing you bought a table with 4 chairs," he said. "You thought we might need them one day,
and you were right. We do." And just then, the doorbell rang. Alberto and his dad got up to welcome their guests.